Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Yeah. Ooh, jazz hands. And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And we always ask that you do please remember we are not experts. We are just podcast hosts. And so we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Let's kick things off with a message to you, Dori.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
A very sweet, sweet message.
Hi, Kat and Dor. Literally sitting in a bubble bath right now. Sorry, TMI. And catching up on my magazine reading, because I love a magazine in the bath. And Pulp and Marie Claire magazine, holiday issue, flipped to the at work section, as is my wont. And the profile is written by one Dori Shafrir. And I literally said out loud, "Way to go, Dor," which is weird because I don't know you and you're a very successful writer. And why would I be surprised that you're in Marie Claire? But it's awesome. And I'm super excited for you. And I was like, I'm going to call and leave a voicemail, which I've never done before. But I love you both and I love the podcast. And I just wanted to say congratulations. You guys are amazing, and you make my life so much better. The whole Forever 35 community does. And just wanted to thank you for that. So happy holidays. Happy 2020. And that's it. Thanks so much, guys, for being you. Bye.
No, thank you.
Way to go, Dor.
Thanks, Kate. I wrote a profile of Jennifer Lee.
I remember when you were working on that.
Yeah, as the chief creative officer of Disney Animation and also co-wrote and directed The Frozens.
She sounds amazing.
She's extremely cool.
Well, look, listener, you do know us. We do know you. We do know you. Wow. We do know you. And we love you. I mean, we know each other in kind of this magical, weird podcast way.
Yes.
But I do feel like we all know each other, kind of.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, look, we know you're in the tub reading a magazine because
that was not too much information.
Not at all. Is there ever? I love when listeners call in and like, sorry if this is TMI, dot, dot, dot. And
it's like, never TMI.
No, you literally know about our hemorrhoids, our bodies, Dory's blasting water up her butt in a bidet. I mean, you know the details.
Goodness, two out of those three examples were about butts, Kate.
I love butt care. I'm passionate about butts.
Bringing back butts for 2020.
You know what? I'm all about butts in 2020. They're an overlooked part of our body. We got to just, you know.
Not by us.
Well, that's true. Anyway, listener, that was really a sweet message. So thank you for that. Well, we've got another voicemail here. Another nice, we're just playing nice messages today. Here we go.
We really are.
Hi, Kate and Dori. I just had to say, I just listened to the episode that you had with your husband on, and you guys are so funny. It was such a nice change on the pod, and I think it would be a good idea to have them back at another time. I just had to tell you because I think it was a great idea, and it was really good conversation hearing it. So, love the pod. Thanks.
Kate, you know, that episode that we did with our husbands has met with great acclaim.
Which we're truly thrilled about.
We are.
Because we didn't know how that was going to go.
No, we didn't.
Neither did they.
No, they didn't. They were good sports about it.
They were really good sports.
I think they enjoyed themselves.
I also feel like we learned a lot. Like, I didn't know they had thought so much about hair plugs.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a big source of anxiety for men.
You know, I don't want to be like, well, good, but like, I'm glad that they have something in the you know, the structural system in which we live, in which, you
know, that's true.
The burden often doesn't fall on the old white men's to feel bad about
stuff.
That's
true.
But anyway, they were really good sports. We were really happy to have them on, and thank you all for receiving them so kindly.
I really got a chuckle out of all of the enthusiasm with which they were greeted.
I mean, they're silly guys.
They are. They're big goofs.
They're great people.
And they have good chemistry, too, like with each other.
I know. I would love for them to,
like, really yucking it up.
They were yucking it up. I mean, we had to cut a lot of the yuck-ups.
We did.
There's just trim on the floor of them making lots of jokes about how they, like, jokingly love construction. Right? Like, they were really...
They were making jokes about masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah. They're funny, though.
They are funny.
All right, Dory?
Yes.
Gonna dip into another VM here.
Let's do it.
Oh, dang. It's Danique from Denver again. I forgot. I wanted to thank you guys for not splitting up your podcast into seasons. I love that you play it straight through the whole year. I understand you take, like, a week off or 2 weeks off, depending on vacation, but I really appreciate the full-time pod. And I'm also curious if you guys are ever going to do a live show or start doing live shows. And if you do, you better come to Denver.
I love that she just ended it there.
You better come to Denver.
It's like a threat.
Click.
Yeah.
I would love to come to Denver. Okay, so first of all, thank you for liking how we structure the podcast.
Yeah.
It is, you know, we are trying to make more time off for ourselves, because I feel like the first year and a half we just, like, blasted through.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, this is, we have to take, like, full rest, meaning we're not thinking about the podcast for a good week at a time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that would be good for our mental health?
Yes.
So
which is what we just did.
Yes. And we're working on just figuring out how to do that in a way that is also not, like, disruptive to the
listening experience.
Yes, yes. But we do love doing this consistently.
Yeah.
It's a real thrill.
It is.
As for live shows, that is, I would say, on our top of our podcast to-do list in 2020. We're really trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, in the interest of full transparency.
Lay it out there, Dory.
It's hard to know how many people would actually come to a live show.
Would anyone come?
Like, we know we have listeners, but...
Me too.
When the rubber hits the road, are you all going to buy tickets to our show?
Do you really want to come to a show?
Yeah, we don't know.
And it's okay if you don't.
It's totally fine. But it's like when we're planning a tour and we have to sort of estimate, like, how many people would show up and book a venue. It's like, I don't know.
It's truly, we have no idea. We've never done it before.
Yeah.
We'll probably start smaller.
I was thinking like arenas.
Tori's going to be at MSG.
Just me and
you and a couple listeners.
Couple listeners.
I love an arena, she'll say. No, we definitely really want to do it. And it's been, I will say, the times where we've done live events or kind of like had a meetup, it has been so incredible.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, like meeting listeners and connecting with people is really fun. And it's also really cool just to see listeners get to know each other or
totally.
All commune in a space. So we are thinking about it. If you have leads on locations in your cities, hit us up.
Yeah.
Probably has to be a more major metropolis right now.
Yeah.
But look, if you own a venue in Hawaii or...
Or Hawaii. Let us know.
We are coming there only.
We're doing a Hawaii tour. We're doing all the islands in Hawaii.
That would honestly be so much fucking fun. So amazing.
Let's do it.
Okay. We have an email here before we take a little break.
This email is really giving the other email a run for its money.
Well, no, but do you know what this means? We have 13-year-old listeners.
Yes, multiple.
We have multiple 13-year-old listeners. We love you so much.
Let's read this email.
Okay. Hi, I am from San Diego. I am also 13, just like the past listener, Claire. I am a ballet dancer and have 7 classes a week that are all very long. That isn't even including all the different types of rehearsals, performances, school, and extra school activities. As you can tell, there is a lot going on, and I was wondering how I can cram in time to do things with friends. It's always, sorry, I have ballet, and I want to transition to, sure, I'm free. Please help. P.S. My little sister and I love your podcast and have cherished every bit of it.
My little sister. So we have a listener who, at least one listener who is younger than 13.
I'm blown away.
Next thing you know, your daughters are going to write in.
I mean, did I tell you that one of my daughters started reading one of my books? One of my book? My book? The only book I've written so far?
No.
About my dead mom and was like crying about it. And I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
But that's a story for another podcast.
Sure.
Back to this listener.
Hello, 13-year-old listener.
This is tough. I was thinking about this.
This is very tough.
And I will tell you, listener, I saw your email. I had just had dinner with one of my oldest friends who I've known since I was about 8 or 9. And she's a dancer. And she had this kind of schedule our whole lives, all through middle school and high school, danced every day for hours and tons of rehearsals and was also on like varsity soccer. And I'm going to ask her how she did it, because she also made time for her friendships and her relationships. But I think that can be really hard when you're young and passionate about something and you also have schoolwork. I'm wondering if maybe it would help you to keep a calendar, and you might start to be able to visually lay out all the stuff that's on your plate. Like even just a basic like 12, you know, you're like hanging on the wall calendar where you write everything out. And then when you see the spots where you have time free, you take the lead on making plans with people.
I like that. I was also going to say, I would look at your schedule and see if there's anything you can cut out. Like you say, extra school activities. Do you have to participate in all of those school activities? I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
But it does sound like something's going to have to give a little bit in order for you to make time for your friends.
And look, we're not your parents or your teachers.
No.
Or your coaches or whatever.
None of those things.
So, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But your social life is of value, as are the activities that you do.
Agreed.
And they all can balance each other out and give relief from the other.
Yes.
So if you feel like you're not having enough time in your social engagements, I think it's okay to put some value there. Again,
I agree.
I'm not your parent.
But please keep us posted.
Yeah. And thank you so much for listening. Shout out to your little sister. I hope we haven't said anything inappropriate for...
I'm sure we have.
I mean, I did just go on about butts, but everybody has a butt. I mean, butts aren't inappropriate.
No. All right, let's take a break.
Okay, on that note.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
We're back.
Well, we are back.
Sometimes I forget. I'm like, oh, it's us who's doing the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Why did I...
We're not waiting on anyone else.
I know. Okay, let's kick things off here with a return to product conversation.
Hi, Kate and Dory, calling you from Palm Springs because I just had a product epiphany that I wanted to share with you. That is, maybe sometimes the reason that we don't think a product works is because we're not using enough of it. And I figured this out using the Living Proof In Shower Styler because I had been playing with it for a while, and I liked what it did to my hair, but I didn't feel like it was always a dramatic enough styling product. And then I put more in my palm today when I used it in the shower and blew out my hair, and I really was pleased with the result. And this was just something that, like, maybe sometimes we just have to change the way we're using our products to make sure that they're being effective. The only downside to this is like not a cheap product for me, and I'm like, oh, I love this style. But you know, that's why it's going to be a treat, and I'm going to try not to get upset about capitalism and like how upsetting it is that I love all these things that are like maybe a little out of my budget, but it's fine because you know we're doing our best. I think everybody is, and I just love you guys for having this resource for us to talk about all the things going on in our lives. Yeah, have a great day. Love you. Bye.
Ew. Interesting.
Love you. Love Palm Springs.
Yes. Love all those things.
This made me chuckle because I wonder if you're like me in which I buy myself a product and then I'm like, just going to use a drop of this because I got to make it last for 2 years because I spent money on it. It's hard for me to like dump the product out in my hand and really go for it.
You know, I have been noticing lately, especially with moisturizer, that I've really been like slathering on.
And does it make it better?
I think so.
Yeah.
My skin feels good, I gotta say.
I love this epiphany. You know, again, this might be the kind of epiphany that is for you, and for somebody else might have an epiphany that's like, I need to use less of this product for it to work effectively for me. But, I don't know, becoming more one with our products is
totally
great.
It is.
Consumerism, that's a tough one.
It is. We haven't solved it.
And we're definitely not going to.
No. Let's read an email. Shall I read it?
Take it away in those dulcet tones, Dory.
Oh, thank you, Kate. I think I will. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm a longtime listener. First time reaching out.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
What? You said to use dulcet tones. I'm using dulcet tones.
Like too much. It's so soothing. God. I calmed down. My anxiety like dropped. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
All right, I'll continue. I'm 26. Really starting to take my health and self-care seriously. Your pod really makes it feel less overwhelming and more like the gift it really is. I need your help. I'm passionate about non-toxic and natural skincare prods after pushing past the hype, seeing how big of a difference they make in our overall wellness. My skin is both incredibly oily and horribly dry. The most combo skin there ever was. I have the hardest time finding prods that work for me. Any and all recommendations would be so, so helpful.
That was like ASMR. I'm honestly have like that weird neck tickle.
I'm going to read all emails.
Oh my God, that was a lot. I just want to thank the listener who wrote that email for being the guinea pig
for my
that.
ASMR YouTube channel.
Holy moly. I don't know how to recover. I wish you could have seen me. I was like, the listeners, you would have had a visual experience seeing what I was doing. Okay. Well, this listener, you write this at an interesting time because I am revisiting ye olde squalane oil. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this might be a good option for you. Now, look, again, not an expert, but I believe squalane comes the closest to mimicking your skin's like natural moisture and oil. Am I right on this?
You know, it's funny you say that because I was going to recommend Biossance.
Oh, I do like Biossance.
And they use squalane in most of their products.
They do. And they have some nice lightweight products. Balancing the oily and the dry, that's really challenging. Mm-hmm. So I'm also wondering if less is more for you. Mm-hmm. Rather than trying to like put this on to balance it and do this mm-hmm, and that, just maybe pull back a little bit. Go very simple and see what happens. I don't know.
I would say lay off the cleansers. Mm. Lay off the exfoliants. Be really gentle on your skin. Maybe just like what Kate was saying, like one serum and a moisturizer. And that's it.
And that's it. And your sunscreen.
Yeah, and your sunscreen.
Dory, the squalane oil that I've been using is by Indeed Laboratories. Mm-hmm. And it is derived... I'm quoting from their website, and also Caroline Hirons uses it as well and has written about it on her website. But on their website, they say it's derived 100% from sugar cane. So it's not from palm oil or shark oil. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, I don't know, it's really hydrating. I love it. So, and it's $20.
Sounds great.
It's a pretty good price point, I would say. Well, there you go. Vegan, not tested on animals. Listener, and let's open this one up. For the listeners.
Yes. And, you know, also there is a Forever 35 natural beauty subgroup that I bet would have a lot of great answers for you.
Yeah. So we'll try to reach out there.
Yeah.
We've got a long email from a listener. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to do it in a dulcet tone. I'm going to do it in a regular tone.
That's fine.
Dear Kate and Dory, I'm 43 years old and I have a busy job and two youngish kids, ages 7 and 10. Last year, my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She lives on her own because my parents are divorced and she and my sister are estranged, so her care and the managing of her illness has fallen on me. Here's the positive side. She's still in mostly good spirits and we have a great medical team taking care of her. I'm in Canada, so medical costs are not a worry, although the funds required for her eventual supported housing are. She lives nearby, so I can see her frequently. I've got a great husband who supports me both emotionally and practically. My dad, even though divorced from my mom, still helps out by doing her grocery shopping. I am seeing a therapist who knows me well and whom I trust. Here's what I can't seem to deal with. How alone I feel. Despite the positives mentioned above, I can't get over the fact that the buck stops with me and no one else really gets it. Friends avoid the topic or talk about how they dealt with their grandparents who had Alzheimer's, parentheses, not the same as a mom. It seems that for those around me, I'm in a gray zone. My mom hasn't died and she's not actually ill in hospital or anything, but watching her decline and taking on the responsibility for her care is incredibly painful. I'm sad about it all the time. I have tried reaching out to some friends to say that I'm having a hard time, but they don't really know what to say beyond that they're sorry. How do I deal with this? I don't know exactly what I'm looking for aside from some acknowledgement from others, and I don't know why I'm so focused on this sort of recognition. Others are busy and they don't really understand, and I get it. I know I'm still cared for and loved, but this has made me so resentful and angry, especially if friends complain about their parents or their siblings. A mean and ugly part of me always wants to remind them how lucky they are. I hate that this situation is making me bitter like this. Do you have any thoughts about how to begin to overcome these feelings or to reframe this narrative?
I actually do have some thoughts.
Let's hear them.
Can you find a support group?
Yeah, that was my first thought. A caregiver support group.
And preferably with people who are dealing with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
loved ones with Alzheimer's, because I think then you would find people who truly understand what you're going through. And you all are kind of dealing with the same stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it can be really hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
It just, and that is, it is so isolating. And being a caregiver is so intense and so hard. And my guess is there are other listeners who are caregiving for ailing parents right now, who see you. And I just know, having done it briefly with my mom when she had cancer, and a totally different experience, but I know what the challenges were for me in that time, and it is very lonely. And I do want to validate your feelings that you feel resentful and angry, especially if people complain about their parents or their siblings. This resonates with me personally. I really, went through this. It still pops up for me now, but especially in the recent years after my mom died. Yeah, man, I get it. I totally get it. And, you know, sometimes, like, I just want to say, like, sometimes it's not the right time to overcome the feelings or reframe the narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't always have to put a positive spin or change what your feelings are. I think your feelings are valid. And, you know, just because you feel that way doesn't mean that those people don't appreciate their parents or whatever. But, like, I get what you're feeling. I get it. I see you. It's really hard to sit and listen to someone complain about a healthy parent. Even though, you know, I always knew, like, if my mom was healthy, I'd be complaining. You know,
sure.
You understand it, but
yeah.
I'm rambling. I just want to validate your feelings. And I do think, like Dori said, a support group is a place where these feelings would be very validated and seen. And if there's not one you can get to in real life, I would see if there's something online or a Facebook group, of people who are in your same situation.
Good luck.
Yeah. Or hey, Forever 35 listeners, if there's even one or two of you out there and you want to form a Facebook group together about this thing, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, all you need is like one or two other people who get it.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we have two relationship topics.
We do.
First one's pretty intense.
It is. Do you want me to read it? I'll read it. I don't read in dulcet tones.
No, do it in Dory tones.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm 25 and currently living with my boyfriend of 8.5 years. He's smart, funny, supportive, adventurous, never complains, and splits the housework evenly and willingly with me. In short, he's a wonderful life partner. Recently, it came up that he's not, quote, certain of me, meaning he's not 100% certain yet that I'm the person for him. He elaborated, saying that he didn't feel like we'd had enough serious conversations about our life goals, aspirations, etc., for him to be certain. I honestly was both shocked and heartbroken. Shocked because it never even crossed my mind 8.5 years in that he might still be testing me out. Heartbroken because I'm certain about him and it hurts that he's not in the same place. A week later, we had a follow-up conversation. I answered all his questions about career goals, kids, where I want to live, when I want to retire, etc., and I listened to all his answers. He's still not certain, and he's not even really able to tell me why he's uncertain. If I had to guess, though, I'd say it's because he really values his independence and struggles with making long-term commitments. We ended the conversation with me saying, I understand that it's a big decision, and I don't want to rush you into anything, but I would like to ask that, out of respect for me and my time, you start actively trying to get to a place of certainty, regardless of whether that means you're certain you want to be with me or you're certain you don't. He agreed that that was fair and said he would start doing that. Now I feel like I'm just waiting for him to break up with me, even though he might decide that he's certain he wants to be with me, and it's devastating. I'm not exactly sure what I'm asking here. I guess maybe I want to know if I'm handling the situation correctly. Is it okay that 8.5 years in, I'm still waiting for him to be certain about me, or am I selling myself short by being with someone who has to decide whether or not I'm the one 8.5 years in? Is it okay to give him an ultimatum and to tell him for my own sanity that I need to that I need him to make up his mind sooner rather than later? Any advice or words of encouragement would be so, so, so appreciated.
The thing I keep coming back to is that why does he get to be the one to decide? I think that you get to make the decision for how your life goes. And in my opinion, if you're with someone who's not certain of you, it sounds to me from reading this that you've said that's made you heartbroken because you are certain and he's not. And so you get to decide if you want to continue being with this person right now. Doesn't mean that you might not still end up with this person and married and for 100 years, but I think that you are the boss of your life here.
Yes, Kate, this person is the boss of their life. I also think it must be especially hard when you've been with someone for that long and you're so young. You know, you must have started dating him when you were 16 or 17.
Right, 18? No, 17, no, yeah.
16 or 17, because she's 25 and she's been with him for 8.5 years. So, you know, it's hard to break up with anyone anytime, but I think especially when you've literally grown up with someone, it's really hard to imagine your life without them. Not that I'm saying you need to break up, but I'm just saying, like, in the universe of possibilities, that is one possibility, and it must be difficult to picture that. My takeaway from this is that he's now put this out there, and I feel like no matter what decision he comes to, it's now out there that he was uncertain about you after 8.5 years. And like, maybe that will be something you could get over. I personally would have a hard time getting over that.
You mean not, by getting over, you mean it would constantly be in the back of your brain. Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like I would always be waiting for the other shoe to drop. What I am going to suggest, and again, take it or leave it, I would suggest a trial separation.
Hmm. Would you suggest couples therapy with the two of them?
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe couples therapy and a trial separation.
Yeah. Take a break.
Take a break. I mean, have this be your decision, as Kate was saying.
That's, yeah.
And I think a trial separation might help with that. You might have a trial separation and say, you know what, this really is my person and I'm going to get past what he said and it will be fine. Or you might say, you know what, now that I have some clarity and some distance, I can see that I don't really appreciate the way he treated me. I don't know. Or it could be somewhere in between.
How about we get to this place? What about this? This listener decides they are certain about this person, this boyfriend. The boyfriend says, actually, no. And how do you then, or is this just talking about something that doesn't happen yet? Or like, how do you then process the fact that you feel like you've met your person and they said, nope. And now you have to deal with that.
I think it really sucks, but at least you know.
Yeah.
You're not in this like weird limbo.
Yeah. That's what I think. I feel protective of you listeners because you've now been placed in this limbo.
Yeah.
Of like having to limbo sit there and wait. And it makes you not feel good about yourself.
No, and I think you've been extremely patient and generous with him.
And mature.
And like mature.
This follow-up conversation.
Yeah, and asking him to actively get to a place of certainty. And I understand that it probably feels forced and artificial to say, you must decide by February 10th, whether you're going to be with me or not. But also, like, you've also kind of given him a way to keep living in this place of uncertainty,
which seems very convenient for him.
Very convenient, very comfortable for him.
Yeah.
So I think you have to protect your own heart.
And meaning
like, this is, you have more agency in this situation than I think you do.
I do think that ultimately your heart you deserve to belong to not belong. You deserve to be with someone
who is certain about
who
you.
Who is certain about you.
Yes.
And also, what a heavy word.
Yes.
Ugh. Because there are times in any relationship where you're like, oh my God, I don't know. What am I? Did I make the right choice here? Like, it is okay to grapple with uncertainty. I think
I'm
that
gonna
is
say something that is
oh boy.
Going to be potentially controversial.
Oh my gosh, here it comes.
I think he's waiting for you to break up with him.
I don't think that's controversial at all. It could, that could
possibly I'm reading this and I'm getting, this is a person who is too cowardly to break up with you. So he has given you everything in his arsenal to present himself as unworthy of you. And he's waiting for you to pull the trigger because I don't think he's going to.
Whew.
Having been in a similar situation once.
Yeah. I'm that's where I'm reading where this is coming from.
I
yeah.
just feel like these types of guys don't actually want to be the one. They don't want to be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Especially after dating for 8.5 years. Yeah. That's a long time.
So they're trying. This may sound harsh, but my read on this when all is said and done is that he is kindly manipulating you into breaking up with him. And like, I don't know, that sucks.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I mean when I say protect your heart.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
So
you have value. You sound like a great partner.
Yes. I say this all from a place of love and support.
Yes. And look, he could come in tomorrow and be like, you know what? I am certain. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
I'm totally, yes, let's do it. And then like, great. Only you can know what is true and right in your relationship. Uh-oh.
Sorry.
This is a Dory moment.
I just, answered all his questions about career goals, when I want to retire. Like, is this a job interview after 8.5 years? I don't get a good feeling. I'm sorry. I don't get a good feeling.
Speak your truth, Dory.
This is my truth. I just don't get a good feeling.
I also just want to say, relationships are really hard.
Yes.
And to think from the other side, it is okay for another person to not know if a relationship is right for them.
Totally.
Like, I want to make sure, like, I'm doing the best to see all sides.
Yes. And of course, we all come to advice with our own biases.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So, and I acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I don't want to at all seem like we're passing judgment on you.
But
or
I
your
also
boyfriend.
Feel like sometimes radical honesty is the kindest path to take.
Any words, final words of encouragement for this listener? They asked for words of encouragement.
I think what you just said, like, you are a worthy person. You sound amazing. You're deserving of love.
True, certain, firm, yes, love.
Yes.
From this person or another person or many yes. other people down the road. Who yes. knows what life will unfurl. Anyway, this is really hard, listener.
Really hard.
You can see it's hard just by how long we've talked about it.
And thank you for asking us.
And you know what? If you feel up to it, keep us posted.
Yeah.
And if anyone has been here, holler at us. Well, look, we're going to end on a light note.
I was going to say a high note.
A high note, a light note. Kind of ending back where we started.
Good point.
Mm. We have another listener embarrassing moment. We're so grateful for these. Thank you for sharing your truest selves with us. We will play this and then end from there.
Hi, Kat and Dor. Just calling in with an embarrassing story for you guys that I thought everybody would like. I'm taking a break from baking cookies with my 5-year-old because, yeah, need a break. But your boob story on the horse reminded me of a vacation. Actually, it was my honeymoon that I was on with my husband. It has nothing to do with boobs nor horses, but embarrassing nonetheless. I was having a lovely dinner with my husband in Jamaica when I decided that sitting around the fire outside would be romantic. So we moved outside, and as we were sitting there, I think the dinner wasn't sitting so well with me and ended up needing to go use the bathroom. But instead of walking maybe 5 feet to the nearest bathroom, I, who have a problem using public restrooms, decided, no, we needed to get back to our hotel room, which was on the other side of the resort. So I decided to start walking back to the hotel room, and my husband followed suit. Well, about halfway through this jungle walk, through paths and, you know, resorts, I decided that it was now or never and had a bridesmaid moment. I know you've seen the movie where she basically shits in the middle of the street. I had a beautiful, flowy, romantic dress on for the evening and more or less pooped in a bush on my honeymoon. Yeah. I tell this story most of the time to pretty much anybody who will listen, but thought I'd share it with the world now, if you do decide to play this. Even better part of the story was the poop that I couldn't manage to get back to the hotel room with in the bush kind of lingered for the rest of the trip. Really gross, I know, but it was that or pooping the dress and having to figure that whole mess out, and it just was a whole thing. My husband loves to laugh at me about this, and I live with shame and whatever you want to call it on a day-to-day basis. Anyways, hope you guys are having a happy holiday season. Please don't poop yourselves, and love to everyone. Bye.
What a great note to end on.
Please don't poop yourselves.
No, please don't.
But you know what? Sometimes it does happen, and yep. It's okay.
Amen.
2020.
Here we go.
It's going to be a year.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.